Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. As in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. Today's gospel comes to us from Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then Jesus strictly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And this is the word of the Lord. Well, one of the veriest first things I ever read by C.S. Lewis was when I was in high school. It was from the Screwtape Letters. The tempter addresses his letter to Screwtape. Or Screwtape is the name of the tempter. The whole idea is to lead people astray and take them into their father's kingdom, which is, of course, down below. And he made the remark in the third letter, one of our allies in this task of taking people and cutting them off from the Lord is the church. Now, he says, that's what the humans see. We, with our heavenly spiritual vision, see the church as a banner and a host, a mighty army stretched out through time and space, and that scares us stiff. But what humans see is a small building with a budget problem, people that sometimes you like and don't, people whose programs you like and sometimes don't, maybe a church which needs a paint job. And somehow from that they are led to forget how important that building is in drawing people to the faith. And my point for today basically is that there are two sides of the church. The church, of course, is the body of Christ, called by Christ, rooted in eternity, nourished by the Spirit, an extraterrestrial source, beyond time and space, one, holy, Catholic, apostolic. And our confessions say it all. We'll be going over it in the Apostles' Creed. I'll refer to them later. The church is also, or shows itself today, as a small building in some need of repair, etc. A congregation of people amongst whom the name of Christ is mentioned, but otherwise don't seem superficially to be anything special. A minister who might be good or might put you to sleep. A program of Sunday school which may or may not work. A budget. It's an amphibian. It lives in two different worlds. One is beyond space and time, and one is right here. a little bit like us, we, spiritual beings, flesh and blood bodies with a limited lifespan, and beings, both body and soul, which are supposed to live for eternity. Of these two sides, when we think of the church, which do we normally have in mind? And this was what you bear in mind during the readings. The question Jesus posed to his disciples about identity is recorded in three Gospels, as is Peter's confession, "You are the Messiah," which is the right answer. But Matthew adds something else to this, a sort of a two-edged thing. First of all, he says, you didn't find this out just by meditating on what you see. God literally gave it to you. Flesh and blood did not. You are Peter, and on this rock, the rock of you, the apostles, or the faith, that's another question for now, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you will bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you will loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That faith will be the foundation of the church. And I will give you authority such that it will reflect realities in heaven on earth. But these promises are given in the future tense, not the present tense. And they are followed by a strict warning not to make that declaration about Jesus at that moment. Because frankly, Peter doesn't understand what he's said. Not fully. His statements, as recorded in Mark and Matthew, prove it. Jesus tries to tell him, as he does in all three Gospels, that the Messiahship is not just a triumphal procession. It involves suffering, even death. Peter rebukes him, and Jesus has to tell him in no uncertain terms, you got it all twisted out. You got stuff that you need to learn. If Matthew reminds us that the knowledge and faith of Christ, as far as we can grasp it, are the source of the church and its power, he gives practical advice to congregations, certainly in the course of the letter of Corinthians, reminding us of what our listeners, his listeners and ours, us, what our lives as followers of Christ should be. The Christian congregation, the Christ-centered congregation, values its membership for what they are and what they have. Potentially what they'll also be, but in the meantime, we have our limits, we have our failings, and we have our strengths. Sometimes it takes a little bit of work to discern them. But whatever we are, whatever we have, different as they may be, they are all contributing one way or another to this body of Christ. We're not monolithic. We're not rubber stamped. But we are united in a purpose and drawn together in Christ. An instructive thing is for us every now and then to say, at Hurley, in Kingston, anyplace else, who do we say that Jesus is? Peter got it right, but he didn't always understand what it was. We might think that, okay, you can recite the Apostles' Creed, the second person of the Trinity, but basically Jesus is a great man. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln. Maybe he's an angel, although Hebrews puts a quash on that. The Jesus Seminar people who explore Jesus' personality, which what they think are rigorous standards, and come up with somebody who is remarkably like themselves. Or Jesus is the gospel of prosperity. You do this, you do that, you pray right. If you got enough faith, you're going to make a million. We're called together in spite of those missteps. But let's have purity on Peter. Peter had to be taught through experience what it was all about. In the meantime, we're called together to confess this Christ. Get past all that other stuff. We may not fully understand all the theology of the in and out of Christ, but nonetheless, that's less important than witnessing to the presence of that selfsame Christ in the world. We may have come into this building for any one of a number of motivations. Habit, custom, curiosity, and yet one way or another, we found ourselves in this building. We're here. And whatever we think the motives are, God does work in mysterious ways. Look at these motley disciples. I couldn't help, I just reprinted it. I found it. A sort of a tongue-in-cheek assessment of Jesus' disciples. The comment of the analyzer was that basically, your nominees, that is Peter, John, James, Alphaeus, Andrew, Simon, all the, they're lacking in background, lacking in education, a vocational attitude for the sort of thing that you want. They don't have a team concept. They're going in all different directions. Simon Peter is unstable. Andrew has no qualities of leadership. James and John, son of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude, which would undermine morale. Matthew's been blacklisted by the local business council, etc., etc. These people seem to be losers. What on earth are they doing in Jesus' midst, yet let alone becoming the foundation of the church on earth? But we're like them. We're like disciples. We don't always get things right. We don't always know exactly what we're talking about, but our power source is not on this earth. It is extraterrestrial, and sometimes we forget that. Maybe we fail at times. But somehow we pick ourselves up. Not sure exactly why, but here again we are. Worship gets done in this building. People join together in common prayer, in ministering activities. People donate to something which is not simply their own dinner, their own pleasure. People share with one another what they have. That business about cancer, you were sharing it among friends. They were there when you needed it. How do you explain it? Custom, friendship, who knows? But there's something extraterrestrial about that. Sick people get visited. Shut-ins are cared for. And sooner or later, the young, the outsider, are taught about the faith. In spite of all our failings, we're still the church. We are still called, however that call comes. We can still do wonderful things. Why? Deep down inside, because of these readings, remind us the supernatural correction with Christ is there. We're aware of it, especially when we come together. Sometimes we forget day to day, but that does not mean that Christ is going to forsake us something simply because we don't get the theology right or sometimes get distracted by non-essentials. So in the meantime, to sum up, church here needs members. Needs a paint job, maybe. I don't know. Could be. Maybe mine does. Always running beyond the budget. Full of people who get along sometimes and done sometimes they disagree. The preacher may put you to sleep. I'm not talking about the incumbent. I'm talking about me, maybe. Maybe we're overage. Maybe the squeaky organ or the out-of-date music or the boring pastor, the people you argue with, or the bad coffee, or the less than optimal youth program or no youth program at all. Sometimes they can distract us. But in the meantime, the transcendent reality of what we are and what we do is in Christ. We'll be saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, our power source. The Holy Catholic Church. Catholic not simply in the sense of the Latin Rite, but in extending beyond our boundaries and borders in places you'd never know, extending to universality. The communion of saints. Every time we have communion, somehow we are in touch with that body, past and present. A mystic communion. Think of your grandmother or somebody who first took you to church. Maybe their grandmother or grandfather before that. People you love, people who are now long gone, people who may be around but still they're on the other side of the country. The communion of saints, those who are called to Christ, is behind us. We can't see it, but it's there. The forgiveness of sins. God knows we need that. The resurrection of the body. The grave's not the end. Our squeaky, tired bodies are not the end. That's not the whole story. And the life everlasting. We say that every Sunday. And that helps to remind us that there is, as wonderful and heartwarming as it can be, more to the church than simply what we see here. And there's a lot with what we see here. Listen to somebody, look beyond the surface, and you begin to discover more and more riches. In our small way, as members of Christ, we fulfill the second line of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, whom art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now I'm forgetting the Lord's Prayer. But don't forget, we're going to be bringing the kingdom on earth as it does in heaven. We're going to foreshadow it by what we do as this church. Bringing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, thoughtfulness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control into the world. Even as we don't always fulfill it in our imperfect selves, we acknowledge it, we model it, and people will see. Are we weak? Paul says, my power, that God said to him, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Why is that? We have a treasure, although the vessels are made of clay. We in this local church are pointing out to ourselves, pointing to others to something beyond ourselves, the church universal, the church brought into our being by Christ. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it or us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear precious Lord and Savior, may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, and the confessions we make today be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus said something else. He said that it is more blessed for us to give than to receive. I invite you to act accordingly.